Mike Nesbitt. Mike, first off, before we get into the interview, that's pretty beautiful gear. That's antelope gear. It's kind of Red Indian style. Did you? Who made it up? Was it authentic gear made up by the Indians?
Oh, no, it was just, I think it was made by like a tailor in Hollywood or something. I wear it on airplanes because it doesn't wrinkle.
And it's nice and soft.
Yeah.
How do you like the career as a pop star? How do you like the career as a pop star?
Just finished a book to that effect, and and you can read all about it.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called The Norwegian Sock.
Norwegian Sock, and it's just released in America now. It's coming out when?
It's not released in America, and it won't be out for about another 3 months.
That explains the whole thing. You can't do it in a short answer for us?
No.
All right, well, that's fair enough. What did you do before you joined the Monkees?
I was a failure.
Really? In everything?
Pretty much. I was just starving and writing music, and that's right.
You remind me very much of Peter Yarrow. Do you know Peter Yarrow?
Not at all.
From Peter Paul Murray?
No, I don't remember at all.
Very similar sort of guys. What did you wish to do as an occupation when you were a boy? Did you have any plans formulated early?
I thought that I either wanted to be a fool or a king.
A fool or a king? Yeah, you didn't want to be an engine driver or anything like that.
No, I figured don't mess about with the in-between stuff.
All right. Are you going to be wearing a beanie on the stage or what?
I used to wear it a lot, and then the television people and the powers that were in the industry decided to commercialize it, sell copies of it to people and everything, at which point I stopped.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want that to happen. The original reason for me putting on the hat was because I ride a motorcycle almost exclusively as a means of transportation. And my hair was inordinately long before I became a monkey and had to cut it. And I used to tuck it all up in this hat and pin it to my head, and I could ride the motorcycle.
And why do you prefer the motorcycle, say, to a sports car, maybe with a top down or something?
Why is your big groove the cycle? I'm not an exclusive motorcycle freak, but I have a lot of affection for horses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a chrome, powerful, fast horse.
And finally, Mike, have you ever thought of serious acting?
Have I ever thought of serious? I can't act.
You can't act. You don't figure you can act at all.
I know I can't act.
What do you think? Well, what do you think was happening when you were up there doing the show?
Well, that was entirely improvised, and I just do whatever I do. I do my own thing, and if there's a niche for that somewhere in the annals of entertainment history, then I'll take it. If not, but I can't act. I act about as well as Gary Cooper or Jimmy Stewart can act, and they can't act either. They tell me to be upset, I'm in trouble if I'm happy.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for being on the show. And we've been talking to Mike Nesbitt. Thank you very much, Mike.
There's one small promotion.
Yeah.
Right. You're gonna do
you want me to do my radio announcer's voice, Dick Biondi from KRLA? Hey! Hi, I'm Michael Nesbitt of the Monkees in 68. It's just great and go around with fun and much more Poundstown, platter, chatter, and clap save. I'm a big new 2UW.
Crazy. Right, Mickey DeLenz, welcome to 2UW and to Sydney, Australia.
Thank you.
Thank Mark. You very much.
That's very nice of you to tell me that, Mark.
Isn't he wild?
Aren't Mickey, we clever gonna... and frenetic?
Yeah, you're right there. Listen, I got some questions here for Anne Covington of Enfield. And as we go, first off, is it true that you and Samantha were married by your stepfather?
Yes.
That's it, period, crazy. Can you play any other instrument apart from guitar and drums?
Yes.
Right. You're going to get a lot.
A little organ, a little Moog synthesizer, a little I sometimes play the chair.
How do you feel when you're on stage as a monkey for the first time? I mean, at a concert, she says.
It was very loud. That's the first thing I noticed. It was just very loud, and then I couldn't actually. Hi, Bill. It was good. I don't understand a whole lot of what's going on around me all the time, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of you wearing it's Peter. Is it Peter or Mike that's wearing the
business in the ears to hearing aids to block out the sound. Are you doing that for your own benefit?
No, I should be, but I don't.
You don't think it's going to injure your ears playing like this loud all the time?
Yeah, I think it will.
But you're not going to worry about it.
Well, I just turn it down a little bit.
When everyone's wailing, though, you know, it's something else.
What we do is try to set up the instruments and the speakers so that the full brunt of the attack doesn't hit us. We like that we have a couple of monitors so we can hear it down, but so then we can still have the volume to put.
We can still have the volume to push it out into the audience. I have to speak up a little louder there.
Now, the final question for if you were not a monkey, what would you like to do for a living, Mike?
Mickey.
Mike?
Mickey.
I'd like a spaceship. That's.
Would you like to go up into space like an astronaut?
No, not like an astronaut. I want to go on a big reclining couch with a drink in my hand and like just cruising around and taking a couple of shots and hits and just kind of really, you know, making it like that.
Well, you brought Samantha with you out here, and do you want to do anything special groovy in Australia that you heard about from Lynn Randell? Oh, not all with Samantha. I figure you do that most of the time. With anywhere you want to go or see out here that you've been thinking about. Oh, I'd love to go out and see kangaroos, or you want to go to the beaches, or what?
No, as a matter of fact, the only thing I want to see are the natives.
That's us. Or do you mean the real McCoy?
The real ones, yeah.
Like
us Western, you know, man is we're all alike, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people in the States and people here are very, very similar, you know, incredibly so. Same thing is even in England. Similarities are incredible, much more than the similarities between the Aborigines and us, or the Aborigines here and the Indians in the United States.
So you'd be real happy if we organized a whole bunch of Aborigines for.
Yeah, I don't want you to bring them to me. I want to go to see them, and I don't want them to know I'm there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way of doing it. That's really beautiful.
How about the Indian reservation?
Yeah, I went to an Indian reservation here in Milwaukee. It wasn't a groovy Indian reservation, though. It was a little bit commercialized.
Plastic babies. Crazy. Yeah, well, I better wind. We're running out of tape. But thank you very much, Mickey, for coming on. And we've got to do the other thing on the other side. Right, thanks, Mick.
Yeah, thank you, Warren. This is Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees. Hi. And in 1968, it's just great to go around with a fun crowd on the new UW.
Peter Talk coming up now from the Monkees. Susan Joyner of Castle Hill.
21 Perth Avenue, Castle Hill,
North
Southwest,
2154.
You have zip code.
Yeah, zip code.
Sort of. All right, number one, has reaching the peak of fame and fortune changed your outlook towards life, or do you think that if you had never become famous, your attitudes or philosophies toward life would be the same? It's not possible to deal in might-have-beens, and it's a lost amount of time, pretty much, because my attitudes and philosophies toward life caused me to be where I am, and that's all there is to it. Two, do you agree that famous people lose their private lives? Sometimes, yes, and the question goes on. That they often end up believing their own image, that they forfeit their individuality as a member of the human race and become merely a symbol to the public, a peg to hang their dreams on. Largely, it depends on the performer. So, number three, do you think that your music occupies a serious position in the state in the evolution of music, or is it just a ripple in the surface of the history of music? Well, that's a very tough one. Largely, our serious position is in regards to the fact that we're a television group as well, and sort of that both the television and the music are auxiliary to each other. And, you know, if you're a music purist, that is, you can follow the Beatles and regard us as less than a ripple, and you can be a follower of pop phenomena and regard us as the Beatles' equals. Number four, in art, Cubism was greatly influenced by Impressionists such as Seurat and Cezanne. Can you see in modern music, not just pop, an influence by other periods in music, including non-European?
What do you think of these questions here, Peter?
This one is too much for me. I'm not even going to try.
That's too long.
Yep. All right. Number five, do you wash behind your ears? Yes, I do.
That's beautiful. Are you happy there? You look really happy, the whole lot of you. You're really swinging out here.
You know, running across a whole bunch of kids like this is always enough to pick up a man's ego. They can feel a lot better.
Yeah. All right, please, now, if you could just do that thing on there for us, and we'll be real happy.
Are you people the sponsors of our concert here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're not, you're going to find a whole mess of trouble. Hi, I'm Peter Tork of the Monkees, and in 68, it's just great to go around with a fun crowd on the new 2UW.
2UW, Ward Austin Ferguson for Sandy Rogers of Maroubra, and I had a little competition running, and we asked them to send in five questions,
And this was the five questions. They're not real hard. I don't figure anyway.
I hope.
How do you feel about your trip to Australia, first off?
I feel good. Else I wouldn't have come.
All
that's
right.
The first one gone.
That's the first. That's four
and
sweet.
Sweet.
Would you rather live in England or America? Because you've had a touch of birth and you started.
At the moment, I don't think I could go back to England to live. Not right now. I've got myself a house in Hollywood, up in the hills, way out in the back. And I like it there. I don't know if I could go back to England right now. I'll live there eventually, one day.
Yes. Do you think the people are easier to live with in California than they are in England? Or is it the weather or what?
Well,
not the people?
The people actually in England are much nicer than they are in America. And the same in Australia. Everybody's more friendly and, it's pat on the back and nobody's trying to stick a knife in your back like they are in America. It's really a... You've really got to get out there and fight.
We've just got to do these cuts. Do you like any other music besides pop? This is for a kid.
I like Broadway.
Broadway music, crazy. Now, would you be sure to take with you? What would you be sure to take with you? Removed on a desert island.
Some McLean toothpaste, a toothbrush.
I'm glad you said that. I just did an ad for that.
Oh, I'm glad too. And some clean underwear and some clean socks, and I'll be set.
You'll be happy.
Yeah.
What qualities do you like a girl to have?
Any qualities that she has is fine with me, as long as they're natural qualities, as long as they're not put on, as long as,
for real.
Yeah.
Thank you, Davey, very much.
Thank you.